Okay, good morning. I think what I'd like to do this morning is talk for a little while, and then we're going to share communion together, perhaps slightly differently than we normally do, but I will talk us or walk us through what we're going to do. So first of all, I'd just like to have a recap, really, of what we've been hearing over the last few weeks. And then we'll share communion together. And Ian's been speaking, and last week he talked about a covenant, I think it was last week, wasn't it? A covenant relationship. And was it 2 weeks ago? Oh yes, of course it was 2 weeks ago. A covenant relationship. Not just a relationship that you drift into with just feelings, but a relationship of choice that you work together, a covenant, an agreed relationship that works together. And, you know, it's just something that you haven't dropped into and you can drop out of, but it is a relationship of commitment that you're going to really work at this together. And it's a choice to either serve and commit. You know, we're in it. And we're going to go for it. And actually, interesting, because Ian was talking this morning about, what was it, the covenant of
courage,
that's it. And I was talking to George, and we were talking this week, and he'd said about winners don't quit. Is that right? Tell me if I've got this right. Is that right? Winners don't quit, quitters don't win. Or have I got it the wrong way around? But you know what I mean. And, yeah, it doesn't matter. But you don't win if you quit, do you? You're not going to win. And, you know, committing in is about going all the way. And winners don't quit. And quitters don't win. I hope that's right. And that's what we're all about. And that's what Ian was even sharing this morning. And I thought those two things tie together quite well because, you know, if it's just about feelings and plodding along, you don't get there. But if you commit in and you're going for it, you're committed, you're going to go for it, you're a winner. And that's what we want to be. And when we share, and that's why I'm going to bring, because Ian started off with, you know, when we share the bread and the wine, it's about who we are, our place in Christ. And every time we do that, we are saying that we are part of Christ. We are in Christ. And we do it as a fellowship once a month, but some churches do it every Sunday. But in a sense, it's our commitment statement every time we do it. Every time we share that, we're saying, I'm committed to you, everybody around me, and I'm committed to the Lord every time we do it. You know, that is what you need as a commitment statement. But in some respects, we've lost that understanding, so we have to use pieces of paper to say we're committed. But actually, the bread and wine is saying, I'm committing myself to you, I'm committing myself to the Lord. We do it once a month. That's when we share it. That's what we're saying when we do it. And in fact, when the early church were taking it selfishly, not even recognizing that person in the room over there, weren't sharing with that person, that's what God judged them for, because they weren't acknowledging, recognizing that person amongst them who was part of them, because they're a bit sort of lower class to me and I'm a bit sort of more important than them. So I'll keep myself to myself and I won't share with that bod over there. And they came under judgment. And if you read it through, that's where the judgment came. And it's about saying, I look around, I'm for you, you're for me. And that's where what we share when we share it. And so, you know, it's what we need for understanding it. It's our membership statement. And we are united in Christ when we share that together. That's what we say. Once a month, we are united in Christ. We're going together. And what's come up through that talk, and even last week, and even possibly the week before, love the Lord your God with all your heart. And we often stick it on our business meeting, love the Lord, because in a way, if you want a verse to keep going with you every year you should remember this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and your neighbour as yourself. And Sam sort of focused on it a little bit last week, didn't he? That is the fundamental bit. Of course, what does love the Lord your God mean? You know, and that's what we have to work out. And I think Deirdre picked up a little bit on that, you know. We have to know who God is, so we need to listen to people speaking. We need to read the Bible. That helps us understand who this God that we love. We need to pray to him, don't we? It's a relationship. So loving our God, you know, it's this relationship that we have. It's about knowing him, getting to understand him, speaking to him, following him, love the Lord, bringing him into our life, into our decision making, into our thinking. Should I do this? Or what would God think of that? You know, what, and all that kind of thing. And then love one another, honor each other, respect each other, considerate to each other, serve one another, being tolerant to one another. These are the things that we've sort of heard a bit about over the last couple of weeks. And it is a covenant relationship with each other. You know, we're working. And some of it cropped up again, but obviously it does, because it's the foundation of our gospel, isn't it? So it's going to crop up. And we went, Kevin and myself, went up to a conference last weekend. And we had the speaker there was the son of a chap out in Argentina, which has seen a lot of revival and things happening in Argentina. And what I'll have to do is give you, I would have liked to have shown you a clip up here, but I haven't got the clip because, you know, YouTube and all that complication. So if I give you the name, you can go and look up Carlos Anacondia on GodTube or YouTube. And he's coming to camp this summer, I think. So you'll see a little bit of who he is. And that might, he'll either scare you or he'll get you excited. Put it that way. Yeah? So he'll either scare you or get you excited. But he's coming to camp. And, you know, you'll probably need some Now, we had, when we were there this last weekend, first of all, the translator, because this man, we didn't have Carlos, we had his son, I can't remember his son.
Moses,
that's right, Moses. I guess it's Moses in our word. But his translator, because he couldn't speak English, we had to have a translator. And the translator gave us his testimony. And this chap, who's Argentinian, had gone to America, the translator, he'd gone to America as a... And while living in the USA, he became a big drug dealer, dealing cocaine and whatever, anything, I guess. And in the end, the police were after him in umpteen states, and they were chasing him all over the place, till in the end they caught up with him. And when they caught him and arrested him and took him in, he was looking at, I think he said, was it 49 years? Something like that. You know, the rest of his life in prison, because they're quite harsh on it out there. And he thought, what do I do? I'm going to spend a long time in prison, rest of my life. A bit of a shock, I think, it suddenly hit him. But his mother, back in Argentina, got in touch with him and said, pray. Pray. And he thought, well, I've got the time to, so I might as well. And her church were praying for him. And it's a funny dilemma, isn't it? Because he's a drug dealer. He kind of should get his punishment. But anyway, they prayed for him. And when he stood before the judge, Well, you might hear all this again because he may be the translator down there, so you'll catch it again. He stood before the judge, and the judge said, I don't know what he said actually, but it was something along the line of, I'm just going to give you a suspended sentence. And with that, but they deported him back to Argentina, so they got rid of the problem to Argentina, as they might have seen it. But when he went back there, he became a Christian, and straight away, I think immediately, he was working for the church, which is kind of incredible. And I think now he runs a church in this country. He's been here for about 10 years. So that was just the story of the translator. Anyway, but what we heard was this Moises was telling us about his dad, and he was a businessman in Argentina, the dad, and he became a Christian. And he was a new Christian, and he was looking at his Bible, and it said certain things. And I'll read it in a sec. And he thought, he started telling people about Jesus. It reminded me of Michelle a bit. So there you go. Let me just read the bit that they kind of picked up a lot. And after this, it's Luke 10. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. So he sent them off ahead. It's almost like prepare the ground for me. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. So we've had this a couple of times, because I mentioned this even about 3 weeks ago. You know, the Great Commission, I have all authority, is given to me. Go, send you out in my authority. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in the house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick. This is the bit he picked up on, one of the bits. Heal the sick who are there, and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. So it's like, heal and preach. Simple as that. But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet we will wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable. And this is just a side issue. Think on these verses. And this is in the rewards of heaven. There's levels of judgment, because I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Anyway, that's just a side issue. It's interesting. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon. So what's bearable in Judgment Day? So have a think on that. It's just an interesting one. I just checked that one in as extra. It will be more bearable. I've lost my place now. But it would be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. That means you reject God. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. It's interesting, really, because this is the authority of Christ. The authority of Christ. And we need to get this into our heads. Do you know, last week I was at home, and a certain young lady that's staying with me was dragging her feet to come, see? Dragging her feet to come to church. And I said to her, I said, "Do you know Voldemort? When Jesus, well, the one we go to worship now, is the highest, most powerful being. Do you know Voldemort is petrified when he comes into the presence of Christ? And do you know if Christ says to Voldemort, 'Go,' Voldemort runs as fast as he can. And if Christ says, 'Kneel,' Voldemort kneels." You're wondering who Voldemort is, aren't you? She knew who Voldemort was. And I was trying to get the point that Christ is above all. And all your bad guys on telly, all your evil characters on telly, they have to bow the knee to Christ because he is above them all. And they are shaking when Christ comes into their presence. And they run. If he says, "Go," they are out of there so fast. He has. And I wanted her to understand who this Christ that we come to worship is. Voldemort is nothing compared to Christ. So I kind of brought that in because this is the authority that Christ has. And that was just me trying to make it relevant to her life. Because she loved. Anyway. And to carry on. And another little story. And a couple of weeks back, someone in the coffee shop said that their granddaughter was having trouble sleeping. One of those ones where I think, what does that mean? Would you go? Could someone go and pray at their house? This is another. I told you a story like this a while back, didn't I? But this is another one since that one. And someone said, "Could we go and pray at their house?" And I thought, "Oh, okay. But I will see, because I think, yeah, not sure about all the theology of it all, but I'm going to. They've asked for prayer. This child, a child, is having trouble sleeping. I'm going to go. They've asked for it, and I'll go." I said to the lady, "Who would you like me to take?" Because it's nice to have, it says here, take two. And I think it's quite a good principle. So I said, who can I take from the church? Who would you like me to take? And they said, we like Caroline. Could you bring Caroline along? So I rang Caroline up, told her, and here we are going off to, meet to this house to whatever, pray around this house. And we went. And the same again, I said to her, the one that we come has the authority over all principalities and powers. And it's in his name that we say these things. And it might not sound like we're doing big, big stuff, but I'm trying to get this over to them to understand whose authority we come in. And I said to, and we did pray, and I said to the lady, I said, "Look, when it comes to bedtime, you go in with your little girl and you just talk like you talk to me. Don't have to use fancy words and anything like that." I said, "You talk like this, God," and I can't remember what I said to her, but something like, "God, protect my little child." I might have said, "Say, God, you are the boss." I don't know what I've said, but just say, "Protect my child, help my little one to sleep, and if there's anything bad here, protect," something like that. I can't remember exactly what I did say. And anyway, so and then we left. We left. We've just done what we've done, and we've left the room. We chatted a bit, didn't we? And then, about a week ago, I get a phone call to say, "Thank you for coming round to pray. The little one has been sleeping well, much better. And I did what you said, and I went and I just talked to God just like you told me to, just like he's there with me." And, we need to realize who the one that we are walking in, he is above all. And it's in his authority that we do these things. And when we have the opportunity, sometimes we don't understand, but let's try and step into it. Let me just finish with this, and then we'll do our, oh God, goodness, I go on, don't I? He replied, "I saw Satan," the 72, yeah, "even the demons submit to us, to your name. He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority," this is what they pick up on, "I have given you authority. See, so we go in his name, but you have the authority to trample on snakes. Oh, you don't fancy that, do you? And scorpions. And to overcome all the power of the enemy. Yeah? Voldemort. Don't know who he is, do you? Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That's the most important thing. Not that you have power over these evil things. Not that you can do a miracle. Not that you do that. That you're saved. That's the most important thing. And that's what they've picked up in Argentina. And he, in his simple faith, the man who became a Christian, this Carlos Anacondia, he started to talk to people. He started to pray for people. And he just went round. And he's a businessman. Actually, he's quite a well-off businessman. But he saw things happening. And that's how it spread. And they've gone round throughout Argentina.